All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to two passages of Scripture, Exodus 16 and Mark chapter 2. Exodus 16 and Mark chapter 2. And when I was preparing this message, even though this message is not part of a series, I felt so strongly that this could be the most important message I preach all year. Because I'm going to share with you a truth from God's word that is a principle in God's word that has horrible consequences if we don't follow this principle, and has tremendous blessing if we follow this principle. And when I say the name of the message, you'll probably relate it to the principle that we're going to talk about, but you might not. And the title is a little different, but here's the title. The title, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. The title is Take the Day Off. Take the Day Off. Now, let me just say this. Have you ever had showed up to work and your boss says, take the day off? Or, and let me give you another analogy, especially if you live in Texas, when you were going to school, wake up and there was snow outside? And of course, in some parts of Texas, even just the hint of snow, we're going to take the day off. So it's a great feeling to take the day off. Well, the Lord tells us to take a day off. And so I want us to look at that, all right? Exodus 16, look at verse 23. Exodus 16, verse 23. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. So this is God speaking, who never changes, by the way. And he's talking about, let me give you a little background. He's talking about the manna that he provides every day, all right? Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Notice the word rest, that's very important. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And I'll explain to you why they were surprised that it didn't stink and there weren't worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that for today. Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. I just want you to notice God's not going to provide, give us provision on the, if we work on the seventh day, there's no provision there. He provides double on the sixth day. And the Lord, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day together, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you, notice it's a gift from God, given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, here's what happened. God was giving them manna every day, and he said, listen, you gather so much, that's all you should gather. But what they actually did before that sixth day was some of the people gathered more than what they were supposed to, because they thought, well, what if we wake up tomorrow and it's not here? What if God doesn't provide? So they gathered more, and when they woke up the next morning, it had rotted and there were worms in it. And God was saying, I'll do it. I will provide for you every day. Just trust me. But now on the sixth day, you gather twice as much. So they gathered twice as much on the sixth day, which they had done earlier in the week, by the way, and the part that they left overnight had rotted. But when they gathered twice as much on the sixth day, when they woke up on the seventh day, it had not rotted, and there weren't worms. God was trying to teach them to take a day off, and there's a good reason for this, and I want to talk to you about some of them, and I'm going to give you 5 things about the Sabbath I want you to notice. So here's number one, it's a commandment. This is a commandment. By the way, this made God's top 10 list. Many of you might not know God has a top 10 list, and he had top 10 lists before David Letterman had top 10 lists, all right? So it's a commandment. Now, if you want to flip just to the right, maybe one or two pages, Exodus chapter 20, here are the 10 commandments, and this is the 4th commandment, beginning of verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. No work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle. I personally, I don't understand that one because I've never seen cows work. But God said, I don't even want your cows working on that day. Nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it or set it apart. Now, again, this is the fourth commandment. So let me say something sarcastically here, all right? Aren't you glad that as believers, we don't need to do the Ten Commandments? Obviously, I'm saying that sarcastically, but that's actually the way we feel about the fourth commandment. I want you to think about this now. We believe, we don't say it, but deep in our hearts, we believe we should keep 9 out of the Ten Commandments. And let me just go through them for you, all right? And I want you to answer me out loud. So all the campuses, answer me out loud. Let me just go through the other 9, all right? Do you believe that we should have no other gods before him? You believe that? Yes. Do you believe that we should not have idols? Yes. Do you believe we should not take his name in vain? Yes. Okay, then the fourth is the Sabbath. We're gonna skip that for a moment. Do you believe we should honor our parents? Do you believe we should not lie? We should not steal. We should not commit adultery. We should not murder. And we should not covet. But do you believe we should take a day off? Now you'll say yes, but you don't always do it. It's a commandment. Now, I am strong on this. My seventh day is Monday. In other words, I don't know if you know, but I have to work weekends, okay? So I can't take Saturday or Sunday off, all right? So my seventh day is Monday, that's my Sabbath. And the staff knows this. And just a while back, I was in the office and we were talking with some people and someone said, I know Monday's your day off. And I started to correct them right then. I started to say, no, it's not my day off, it's my Sabbath. My day off's actually Friday, by the way. So I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the way it works out. But I have a Sabbath day, which is Monday. So this person said, and there were several staff sitting around, said, hey, I know Monday's your day off, but could you do this? Could you speak at this, or could you do this, or whatever? And I said, and I just wanted to make a point, I said, why don't you just ask me to murder someone? Why don't you ask me to commit adultery? Why don't you ask me to steal? Why don't you ask me to lie? Because you just asked me to break one of the Ten Commandments. That's what you just asked me. So it's very important that if we don't understand this, and please understand, someone came to me last night and said, you know, my day off is Wednesday. Is that okay? I think it's a principle because Colossians tells us that this was a forerunner of our rest in Christ. But it is a principle still that we need to understand. God wants us to rest one day a week, and it's extremely important. And I promise you, we don't follow the Ten Commandments to be saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. If you honor the Ten Commandments, are there blessings? Are there benefits? Certainly. What if you don't? Are there consequences? Let me say it another way. If you commit adultery, are there consequences? Yes. If you lie, are there consequences? Yes. If you steal, are there consequences? Yes. So if you don't rest one day a week, are there consequences? Yes. And you may be dealing with some of them right now. That's why I believe this message is so important, because I think it'll save marriages. I think people sometimes go through very difficult marriage problems because they're both stressed. They're stressed out. Financial problems, health problems. How many health problems? Because we don't rest one day a week. So number one, it's a commandment. Here's number two, it's a witness. It's a witness. Many people don't realize that this was one of the greatest witnesses that God ever gave in Scripture. Now, again, if you want to flip just to the right, just a few pages, Exodus chapter 31. We'll get to Mark chapter 2 toward the end of the message. Exodus chapter 31, verse 14 says, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you, or set apart. Everyone who profanes it, now watch this, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Pretty severe. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day he shall surely be put to death. Now, there's twice put to death. Let me, by the way, if you don't know, three sins in the Old Testament held the death penalty: not keeping the Sabbath, adultery, and disobeying your parents. So some of you might want to use that. You know, you'd be dead now if we were in the Old Testament. And you're about to wish you were dead. You keep doing, all right, let's keep going here. Verse 16 says, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Now remember, you say, oh, that's, we're not Jewish. Oh, we are grafted in to the nation of Israel. Read the New Testament. We got grafted into the nation of Israel. They didn't get grafted into us, by the way. We got grafted into them. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Now watch this, as a perpetual covenant. How long is perpetual? That's right. It is a sign or a witness. It is a witness between me and the children of Israel forever. How long is forever? For in 6 days, this is why. Every time he says for, it's because. We already read that once in the Ten Commandments. Because, here's the reason I'm asking you to do it. Because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now, this is one of the most difficult passages, by the way, for theologians, this next three words. And was refreshed. And was refreshed. How could an omnipotent God who has all power be refreshed? And I'll explain that to you in a moment. But here's the reason that it's a witness. Now, let's bring up a little bit to modern times, okay? Let's say you're part of Israel, you live in Israel, and a guy emails you and says, hey, I'll be in on Saturday. That was the seventh day. And I'll be in on Saturday, and I want to finish up this contract we're doing. Well, a Jewish person from Israel would email back and say, we don't work on Saturday. And now I'm talking about, now think about hundreds of years ago. And I'm not talking about email. Think about hundreds and hundreds of years ago when nobody ever heard the word Sabbath. This other culture never even heard it. They'd come back and say, well, why don't you work on the seventh day? And the Jewish person would say, well, because it's the Sabbath. And of course they'd email back and say, what's the Sabbath? Never heard of that. And they'd say, well, it's the day that the Lord rested. Who's the Lord? And what do you mean? Well, you know the story. God made the earth in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And they'd say, I don't know that story. Tell me the story. And it was the greatest witnessing tool that God gave the children of Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years. It witnessed to the fact that we didn't just happen. We have a creator. And it was the keeping the Sabbath. Okay, and then it says God was refreshed. Now, let me tell you a little about this word in the Hebrew, the word refresh. The root word of it is to breathe, to breathe. But the other word that makes up this word refresh means to take breath. Breath is the root word, breath. To take breath or to breathe, but to breathe in would be the best definition of it, to breathe in. Okay, so God breathed in on the seventh day. He took breath. We have an expression that's very similar to this. Just give me a moment to catch my breath. Could I just catch my breath for a minute? You know, okay. So God caught his breath, but he breathed in. That's the important thing. To understand this, think about this. What had God been doing for 6 days? He had been creating. How does God create? He speaks. What do you have to do when you speak? You have to breathe out. God had been breathing out, let there be for 6 days. And as a matter of fact, the last thing that he did was he created us, he created man and woman, and he breathed into them the breath of life. So God breathed out, and then on the seventh day, God went, and he took a breath. And then he said, I want you to do this. I want you to rest one day a week. And here's the thing I think about this. This is not some legalistic principle God wants us to follow. It's a gift. And here's what he says. Listen, if you'll rest one day a week, I'll provide. I'll provide enough. It's kind of like the tithe. If we give the first 10%, the other 90% is blessed. And 90% with God's blessing goes farther than 100% without. Let me say it this way. 6 days of work with God's blessing will go farther than 7 days without. And he doesn't bless any of them if we don't understand this. So it's a witness. Here's number three. God is serious about it. God is serious about it. Remember, it holds the death penalty. So he's pretty serious about this. I'll get to Mark 2 in a moment, but Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 through 36. It says, now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, now watch this, it's gonna shock you. They found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Gathering sticks. Okay, Texas, we say picking up sticks. He's picking up sticks. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him under guard. Well, of course. I mean, the man's a stick picker upper. You're gonna have to have somebody, you know, guard him. He's a menace to society. Because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Actually, it had been explained, but they didn't think God was serious about it. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. That's God saying it. The man must be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. I think God's serious about it. Well, why would he be that serious about it? I can tell you exactly why he's that serious about it. Because he's serious about you. Because he loves you. Let me put it another way. Are you dying faster than you should because you're not resting one day a week? Are you under a death penalty because you won't simply receive a gift from God? This is not bad. It's like God says, hey, I want to give you a gift. Okay, I want to give you a day off. Oh, I don't want that. Why would we say no? Now, the number one question I get asked about the Sabbath, I do get asked, can it be another day than Saturday? And yes, I believe it can. But I get asked this question. Here's number one question. What do you do on your Sabbath, Pastor Robert? What do you do? I mean, what do you do? People ask me all the time, well, what do you do? And let me just say, first of all, I rest, but let me say it another way. That's really not the right question. The right question is, what do you not do? And here's what you don't do. Work. Anything associated with your job. You don't do that one day a week. You don't work one day a week. You rest. For instance, do you answer emails for your work? See, now I'm getting to meddling right now. I'm getting to meddling. I mean, you think about it. We used to all have an office phone and a home phone. Now we got the office everywhere we go. And we're sitting there trying to have dinner with our family. Bonk, bonk. And that thing's going off. And then here's the worst thing. You answer it. And you never rest. Never rest. I got an email just a few weeks ago from one of my staff on a Monday. Asked me a question. I emailed back. What day is this? What day is this? Because it's my Sabbath. It's very important that we're not legalistic, but we're principled about this. Now listen to me, because you say, well, what about an emergency? Jesus addressed it. He said, what if your sheep falls in a ditch on the Sabbath? You can get it out. Your ox and your donkey, you lead them away to water. He was saying, I'm not saying be legalistic, I'm saying rest. So if you have an emergency, I mean, if they call and say, hey, your business is on fire, you don't say, well, it's the Sabbath, call me tomorrow. Okay, I understand that you might have an emergency, but you can't live life working 7 days a week. And God is very serious about this. All right, here's number four. Unobserved Sabbaths accumulate. Unobserved Sabbaths accumulate. In other words, Sabbaths that we don't keep accumulate. Now, this is very important, because this is going to shock you what we're about to read. 2 Chronicles 36 verses 20 and 21 says, and those who escaped from the sword, then when they were invaded, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land, now watch this, I'll explain all this, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Okay, here's what happened. God said to them, every seventh year you let the land rest. Do you know that they've done studies today and they've actually proven that land will produce more if you let the field rest every 7 years and don't plow it. In the seventh year, don't plant anything. And it's not, and they here's some money, it's amazing that they've done these studies. It's not six and it's not eight, it's seven. As if someone designed it that way. So if you'll let it rest, so every 7 years they were supposed to let it rest. But here's what they did. They got to the seventh year and they didn't believe God's word. And so they plowed it anyway, they worked anyway. And I'm just wondering if up in heaven, God has this great big whiteboard and he went one, and then they went to the 14th year and he went two, and then the 21st year and he went three, 28th year he put four. Let me ask you this, do you know how long they went without letting the land rest? 490 years. 490 years. Here's a real simple question. If you did something for 490 years, would you begin to think you were getting away with it? Wouldn't you? 490 years, you'd think, oh, God's forgotten about this. God never forgets. You don't get away. Listen, we're not talking about grace for salvation. We're talking about sowing and reaping. You sow bad seed, whether you're a believer or not, you're going to reap bad fruit. You sow good seed, believer or not, you're going to reap good fruit. They went 490 years without keeping Sabbath, without letting the land rest. So God sends an army in, takes them captive. They actually become slaves until the land enjoyed her Sabbath. And I said it 70 years, but just for the mathematicians in the crowd, they were supposed to let it rest every 7 years. They went 490, so how many Sabbaths did they miss? 70. See, and that happens for some of us, that happens like that, doesn't it? See, my father's a mathematical genius. Numbers add up in my mind normally in less than a second. And I've found with other people that they don't. I understand that. That's okay, because you've got other skills that I don't have. I was buying something a while back. It was $7.99. And she said, I'll have to figure up the tax on the calculator because the cash register is not working right now. I said, it's 66 cents. She said, excuse me? I said, 66 cents. She said, how do you know that? I said, well, 7.99 times 8.25 is 66. And she just sat there looking at me. And she did it on the calculator, and she said, you're right. Well, I thought, of course I'm right, because numbers can't lie. You know, and it's easy. And Debbie even said to me, how do you do that? I said, sugar, it's 8 times 8 is 64. And then 2.5 is a quarter of a percent. And then I was trying, and so a quarter of 8 would be 2. And so 64 and 62. And I said, that all happens, you know, in less than a second. She said, not for me. She said, you lost me at a quarter of a percent. I don't know what that is. She said, I do know what 20% off means. So I thought, well, I'll even check her math. So I said, okay, if you're buying stuff for $100, what does 20% off mean? She said, a good deal. That's what that means. It means a good deal. And then she said, this shocked me, she said, and 50% off means it's free. I said, what? 50% off means, she said, here's what I know it means. It's synonymous with buy one, get one free. Free. So if it's 50% off, you get one free. You get free. It's free. And then she said, and 75% off, you're making money. Okay. Well, that's not that good of math, just to let you know, but it's okay. Then notice this. So God takes them out of the land 70 years. 70 years, they become slaves. Listen, so that the land, we just read it. This is straight out of the Bible. So that the land could enjoy her Sabbath. Okay, if God is concerned about the land enjoying Sabbath, how much more is he concerned about you? And by the way, that's a key word, enjoy. Enjoy the day. Again, people say, well, what do you do? And, you know, what do you not do? And all that. You know, last night, this guy, when we were on Saturday, after the Saturday service, we were in Guest Central, and again, we want to meet you. We haven't. This guy came by and leans over like this and says, can I play golf? And I said, yeah, enjoy. I said, as long as you're not taking time away from your family, too much time, you're spending too much time at the golf course, and as long as you're being financially responsible, yes, you can play golf. And he turns to his wife and says, I can play golf. Just like that. And so I explained it to her. I said, long as he's not taking much time, long as he's being fiscally responsible, yes, he could play golf on his Sabbath. Yes, he could. And she said, I said, because the key is God wants you to enjoy yourself. And she said, oh, really? Well, then I can shop. And I said to her, as long as you're being fiscally responsible. Okay, and here's number five. God made the Sabbath for our benefit. In other words, it's a blessing. It's a gift. God made it for us. He did not make us for it. And he actually says that, Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made for it. In other words, God did not make the Sabbath and say, okay, you guys serve this legalistic principle. You be servants to the Sabbath. He made us, and then he gave us the Sabbath as a gift. So you have to see it as a gift from God, not as a legalistic ritual that God wants you to do. It's a gift. This in my own life, let me tell you how this happened. This came about in my own life because I just didn't understand really spending time with God. And the Lord tried to teach me this about 20 years ago, and I didn't catch it then, maybe 25. I remember one time I called this pastor, and we were trying to schedule lunch. So we both had our calendars out, and I said, what do you have scheduled for next Thursday? And he said, nothing. And I said, okay, let's do it next Thursday. He said, no, I can't do it next Thursday. I said, well, why can't you do it next Thursday? What do you have scheduled? He said, nothing. I said, well, let's do lunch then. And he said, no. He said, you're not understanding me, Robert. He said, next Thursday, I am scheduled to do nothing. Next Thursday, I'm going to do nothing. I've scheduled to do nothing next Thursday. Next Thursday, I'm going to do nothing. And I'm scheduled to do nothing. And when we did get together, he explained to me, he said, Robert, I was in the hospital. He said, I was about to die. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm your servant. I try to serve. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. I don't understand. And here's what he said. The Lord said to him, you've been violating my principles. You violate the Sabbath. You don't rest one day a week. That's the reason for your health problems. I didn't bring it on you. You brought it on yourself. And he said, Lord, I will begin resting one day a week. And he got healed. He got better. He got stronger. And he said, now, he said, I schedule. Because, you know, if you don't schedule, it won't happen. So I didn't learn it then. He tried to help me. Then the church, I started the church. Church started growing. The books began to go out more. The television things, more speaking requests. I'm speaking at the church. We didn't have multiple campuses. We didn't have simulcast. I was doing 5 and 6 messages. That's why some of you, you may not know, but even at the Southlake campus, we have 5 services a weekend. I only do 3 live. I'll do the same thing here at Frisco. I'll do 3 of the messages live. And we'll be after each service in Guest Central, but we only do it because years ago, the Lord said to me, you can't do this. Every one of us have 4 tanks that get drained all the time, and we have to refill them, replenish them. We have a mental tank, our mind. We have an emotional tank. We have a spiritual tank, and we have a physical tank. And what I realized was years ago, my tanks are getting so drained that I'm on empty most of the time when I'm trying to minister and help people. And I said, Lord, I know you want my tanks. I'm probably about a quarter empty, quarter full, you know, most of the time, 3/4 empty. And I said, I know you want me up around that 3/4 mark. And the Lord said, no, I actually want you overflowing. I want you to minister out of overflow. So he started helping me to understand that it's important to guard my energy and my time so that I can minister the way he wants me to. So anyway, when we went through a time, though, I still didn't understand about the 7th day taking rest. And Debbie and I were, it was very, very busy. And we were doing overseas trips and coming back and speaking 5 and 6 services a weekend and traveling and doing things for the books and things like that. And I got exhausted. And I did not know what you feel like when you get exhausted, but I was exhausted. And you got to remember, so mentally I'm drained, physically I'm drained, spiritually and emotionally, but I'd never experienced the emotional draining like that. And here's what happened to me. It's an embarrassing story, but I'm going to tell you. I was getting ready for work one morning, took a shower, went into the closet, opened my underwear drawer, and I had 1 pair of underwear. And I stood there, and I could feel myself getting sad. And then I couldn't think, because here's what I thought. Here's what came to my mind. What am I going to do tomorrow? I'm going to have to go to work without underwear tomorrow. I need underwear. Pastors should wear underwear, don't you think? I just couldn't figure it out. And I stood there. I could not think. I could wash. That thought didn't come to my mind. I could go to Walmart and buy a package of 6 for 79 cents. You know, I couldn't even think that. I just stood there thinking, I'm not going to have underwear tomorrow. And I could feel myself getting sad. And then got my underwear on, you know, t-shirt and all, and then I opened my sock drawer and there were no socks. And I started crying. These socks. And I remember sitting down in my closet in my underwear crying. And then the next thought that came to me was, you're losing it. And so that day I was meeting with Pastor Tom Lane. I said, Tom, I got to tell you something. I cried this morning because I didn't even wear socks. And I said, I think I'm losing it. Tom said, you're not losing it. You're just tired. You're tired. And anyone would be tired doing your schedule. And as I took some time and the elders gave me some time, that was my first sabbatical, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to have to rest one day a week. You're going to have to get serious about this. And I remember him saying to me, if you don't, you're going to die. You're going to die if you don't do this. This is that serious. Listen to me, though. We all have busy schedules. We could compare schedules, and yours is just as busy. We all have busy schedules. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, I'm giving you permission to take the day off. Take a day off. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you. And when I say that, sometimes in a message like this, it's obvious that God's talking to all of us about managing our time and our energy. It's obvious that we're to take a day off. That's obvious. But how's it going to work for you? You know, like I said, for me, it's a Monday. And sometimes I do have to schedule some things on a Monday. And so I think, well, what other day then can I rest that week? And I'll have to move my Sabbath around some because of some work things. Like if we had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday conference, then I have to figure out how to take care of that. So when I say, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Maybe God's going to unfold what he's saying to you all week long. So I want you to continue to think about this and pray about this. Look at your calendar, see how you can implement this principle. And the other thing is, we want to pray for you. We really want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Please don't ever be embarrassed to come and ask for prayer. This is what we do. Church is about three things. We do three things every week: worship, the word, and prayer. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, then as soon as we stand in just a moment, no matter which campus you're attending or if you're in an overflow room, at the front of the room, wherever you are, a campus or a room, we're going to have leaders that are trained, that love you, that want to pray for you. So what you may, maybe it's your first time here, or maybe you've been visiting or coming for a few months, or maybe you've been here for a long time. If you need prayer for any area of your life, at every campus, as soon as we stand up, then you just stand up, step out and come to the front, come to the leaders, let us pray for you. And some of you, maybe, I just have a real special burden that some of you, even as couples, maybe the husband, well, I'd love for you just to say to your wife, take a stand, be a spiritual leader and say, let's go, because I need this. I need it, and I need this. So let's go together and let's pray about this. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, as soon as we stand up, then you just stand up, step out and come and let us pray for you, all right? If you're on the altar ministry team, you come as soon as you can so you'll be ready to pray. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person at every campus that has any prayer need in Jesus' name, amen.